Good day, and welcome to this week's edition of Not Necessarily the Automobile on 101.5 UMFM. I am your host, Adam Johnston, for Thursday, November 14th, 2024. In this week's episode, EI, we talk about emotional intelligence. How can cycling and active transportation help make you have a better understanding of the world? Plus, we'll talk about the news this week. That's this week upcoming on Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. And again, thank you very much for joining us this week again here on Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. And thanks for taking the time out of your busy Thursday morning to listen to us. We really appreciate this as we slowly wrap up another week as we head into Grey Cup Sunday with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers playing for the fifth straight time in the Grey Cup, this time against the Toronto Argonauts. So should be an interesting game, but till then, you got to deal with me, so... Glad you're here today on 101.5 UMFM here with Not Necessarily the Automobile. So let's get into today's subject, shall we? Emotional intelligence. It's often a buzzword used in the workplace and in the corporate world. One where often people think of handling one's emotions in challenging and difficult situations. In today's world, it's quite a valuable tool to have, to be honest. But what about those who cycle or are involved in active transportation, like walking? What kinds of traits do they characterize to those who have emotional intelligence? Well, first off, we need to understand what emotional intelligence really is. So, of course, me being me here on the show, I've pulled up numerous definitions, so let's take a look at them. Now, the first one I have here is from Webster's Dictionary, and I say, Webster's Dictionary says that emotional intelligence is defined as, quote, the ability to recognize, understand, and deal skillfully with one's emotions and the emotions of others, as by regulating one's emotions or by showing empathy and good judgment in social interactions. They also want to say that a large part of emotional intelligence is being able to think about and empathize with how other people are feeling. This often involves considering how you would respond if you were in their situation. This is from actually this part here regarding the large part of emotional intelligence is from Kendra Cherry. As well, Lawrence T. White here within the definition says that we know that young children learn to identify, explain, and regulate their emotions, but we know much less about how children learn these things. They undoubtedly acquire some of their emotional intelligence from adults, parents, teachers, coaches, for example. And this is Lawrence T. White, and this is unquote. And this is all from the Webster Dictionary. Meanwhile, Cambridge Dictionary defines it as, quote, the ability to understand and control your own feelings and to understand the feelings of others and react to them in a suitable way. Emotional intelligence is as important as academic intelligence, unquote. And Oxford Dictionary suggests that, quote, it is the ability to understand your emotions and those of others and to behave appropriately in different situations. So, next, you and the audience are probably wondering, what are the characteristics of emotional intelligence? You know, that's a really good question that deserves a very good answer. So, again, I did a little researching and digging under dirt here, and I took a look at this, and what I found was some good characteristics of what emotional intelligent people have. Now, the first thing is, where I got a lot of this information from, is from an article from EU Business School. And this is what I found. This is what they say. People have emotional intelligence. These are the characteristics that they have. They embrace change. They're self-aware. They're empathetic towards others. They pursue progress while not being perfect. They have balanced lives. They're curious and want to learn. They're grateful for what they have. They express themselves assertively, and they're receptive to feedback. Now, another article I found, this was on maven.com, suggested that 11 characteristics for emotional intelligence include self-awareness, self-knowledge, empathy, they control their impulses, they think before they say anything, they have the ability to apologize, authenticity, control thoughts and their mental state, good with feedback, they have thick skin, and they show adaptability. Now, when comparing these lists, many of these two lists, or these characteristics from these two lists, stood out for me. Include embracing change, that, and as well as adaptability. Often, in this case, with these two, cyclists, we often embrace change, whether we like it or not. We get used to a lot of things that change. We like it when we see change. For example, if one street goes from a 50 kilometer to a 30K zone, that's important. As well, we're very adaptable to the situation. So, a lot of situations, to be honest, if you cycle all year round, you're more likely to adapt to those weather conditions, where it's cold, raining, hot, windy. You're dressed for the weather for any of these types of situations. Self-awareness, I agree with that. If I find myself as a commuter cyclist, I have to be self-aware about myself and my emotions, but also try to be anyway, but also self-aware of my surroundings, how cars go around, how traffic flows, I think is important. Who I'm with, where I'm around, what type of neighborhood, I think that's also important. Also, empathy. Now, empathy is the ability to understand others in situations. And I think many who commute by bike, not just in Winnipeg, but anywhere, would agree that there is a high sense of empathy towards others and in situations generally. Those who drive most of the time only see the road and get from point A to point B, nothing else. However, if you cycle instead, you pretty much see everything. You see how the power imbalances in society day to day. If you are a commuter cyclist, you see the horrendous traffic, the environmental degradation, as through your own eyes, gives you a better understanding of being empathetic towards yourself, towards your family, towards the community and society generally. Also, progress over perfection. I find this is very true. Often active transportation network here in Winnipeg, we see that through cyclists, through the work of us. We have seen tremendous progress with more bike lanes in the past 20, 25 years, 30K zones, paths, like multi-use paths like the Northeast Pioneers Greenway, Yellow Ribbon Trail, etc. Although it's not perfect. We're not perfect. However, the ability for cyclists towards progress, seeing that over perfection, is key and sometimes is lost often. But we, as cyclists, we have a knack for that, where we often see progress over perfection. Balanced lives. Now, many of us in the cycling community, we do have balanced lives. We're not just cycling 24/7. We have work lives. We volunteer in our community for various organizations. For myself, includes various organizations like Harvest Manitoba, Christmas Cheerboard, sometimes Solo Mission. As well, we try to, keep active as well, so that's also important. Controlling impulses, I find this is very important. We often cyclists, so maybe buy bikes, equipment, because they need to get around as a commuter, generally are pretty frugal. We're not buying the latest cars, we're not going on very expensive trips. So I find that's very true. Eagerness to learn. Cyclists often want to learn. We're always wanting to learn new things, tricks, tips to make us better as a person. For example, I want to learn how to fix my bike. I've tried to learn how to fix my own tire. I've gone to the wrench to take apart bikes. I want to learn how to cycle safely. I've done the Cycling Champions course recently to have a better grasp of that. Many of us want to learn how to eat better to maximize their cycling potential and go for longer rides, maybe to campgrounds or whatever they want to or we want to within the cycling community. I know myself, I want to learn how the city province affects transportation policy so that pedestrians, cyclists, as well as who take public transit, are impacted and how we can improve upon that so not just people in cars have that advantage in a car-centric society. I want to understand myself why society in general is so car-centric, so I can debate those issues with people who support that. I'll read a lot of books on cycling. I will watch videos. I will write about it. I will talk about this on my show, as you can know why. This is called Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UFM. But I find generally that what I've just described, I think that also describes a lot of cyclists, if not about 95% of them. We have an eagerness to learn. We want to learn how to do things. We want to fix our own bike. We want to figure out how transportation policy works, how it affects cyclists, how it affects public transit, because we want to make the neighborhood better, right? So that's generally a very good characteristic that cyclists have that increases their emotional intelligence. Assertiveness. Now, as well as having a thick skin, being authentic. While these can be different, they are tied together. From my own experience, I find, including myself, that cyclists have a high level of assertiveness and authenticity. Many cyclists will stand up for themselves and for one another within a community, as seen on X when they're being bullied by drivers who consistently belittle the cycling community. Hence, why many cyclists truly do have a thick skin most days when dealing with such nonsense on social media platforms like X, which my own personal account, I will be leaving at the end of November. I also have the Not Necessarily the Automobile account on there, but personally, my own account is not on there, but the show's account will be on X, and I will be telling you more information about the Blue Sky account here for the show, so stay tuned for that near the end. Now, most who do cycle are authentic, as I said, and what you see is what you get when we all cycle. Cyclists show their personalities, they shine through their day-to-day lives. Whether work, school, family, or volunteering, we're generally authentic and we have thick skin. We take feedback and we're very good at being adaptable. Now, these are tremendous skills that we in the cycling community have, and as a commuter cyclist, I've gained through a lot during the years. Cyclists have to be adaptable to all situations, like I mentioned earlier, and we are consistently dealing with changing climate weather and being properly dressed for this type of weather. We're also good at taking feedback from others outside of the cycling community and drafting reports to take to officials to advocate for improved cycling in the city. Now, I truly think that those who participate in active transportation on a daily basis have a high level of emotional intelligence, as I discussed, that this correlates with an article I recently saw on Momentum, pointing to a November 2023 study from the Journal of Environmental Psychology, suggesting that cyclists are more often interested in the common good than regular drivers. The Momentum article highlights some of the key points of the study. Quote, "The isolation creates a stark contrast between drivers and those who opt for cycling. Individuals who cycle regularly have more opportunities for direct interaction with their environment, including their neighborhoods and fellow community members. These interactions contribute to their heightened perception of orientation towards the common good, fostering a sense of community and shared responsibility." The study underscores the crucial link between mobility behavior and the common good. These findings hold significant implications for urban policy and planning. Cycling is not merely an environmentally friendly alternative to driving, it's a force that promotes social cohesion and a commitment to the well-being of the community, unquote. This is in line with what emotional intelligence is, like as I mentioned at the beginning of this discussion here, when I mentioned about those definitions relating to it, where it's about the ability to understand your emotions and those of others to ensure that you're behaving properly in different situations, like Oxford Dictionary said, as well as Webster's Dictionary saying that it is really the ability to recognize and understand and deal skillfully with one's own emotions and emotions of others. And the characteristics that I mentioned explain very well how cyclists are very good with emotional intelligence. I have found from my own experience, and moving forward provides a very good idea why we're generally empathetic to a lot of situations and care for the community more than motorists in general, who do drive in their cars a lot of time, for the most part. So again, this is something to consider moving forward and understanding how cyclists think compared to motorists often, because often motorists are pretty much, they're stuck in a 2,000 or 3,000 pound metal box all the time getting around the town. And I understand that some can't ride a bike, and I understand that, but again, that's generally a lot of things you can say about motors is that their challenges of understanding the world is not how cyclists think. And often, not saying all motorists have low emotional intelligence, but cyclists, I think, have a better understanding of what emotional intelligence is, hence why I think, based on what I mentioned here today, that at the end of the day, this is why we're generally more empathetic towards society compared to motorists. So, very good discussion today about this, and hope that moving forward that this is something that we can discuss why generally cyclists have a higher understanding and more empathetic towards the world, because we generally have a higher emotional intelligence level versus motorists, where a lot of motorists have grasped and like that idea of a toxic car culture, mainly males, but from studies that I've read, and you can Google that as well, and I have discussed that previously on the show a year and a bit ago. But anyway, this is a good discussion, and hope that you've taken something out of this today on the show. So, and now we're going to take a short musical break here on Not Necessarily the Automobile Bill, but after a quick musical break, we'll come back with some brief news and a tribute to someone who passed away in the community here this week. That's next on Not Necessarily the Automobile on 101.5 UMFM. Welcome back to this week's edition of Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. Again, I'm your host, Adam Johnston, for this Thursday, November the 14th, 2024. Now, after this, stay tuned for Democracy Now! Featuring Amy Goodman here on 101.5 UMFM. Always a good show to listen to. Definitely worth your time to listen to. Like I always say every week, comfort, active transportation, public transit news. Then stay for news about democracy around the world with Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! On 101.5 UMFM at 12 noon today after our show. So stay tuned for that afterwards. So again, thank you very much for taking the time here on this Thursday morning. We're going to get right into some brief news here. this week. Just not a lot going on in the news front, but kind of significant here. What's happening in Winnipeg? It looks like we might be seeing Wellington Crescent become a 30K route. That's if Sherry Rollins, the city councillor in Fort Rouge, East Fort Garry area, gets her way. Now, according to a Winnipeg Free Press article, a motion by Sherry Rollins, the city councillor for Fort Rouge, East Fort Garry, is looking to propose resolution, like I said, on reducing speed limits to 30K on Wellington Crescent from River Avenue to Keniston Boulevard until there is a protected bike lane in place. And that is going to be, this resolution is going to be presented to City Center Community Council when it meets on Monday, November 18th. And basically this came out from what happened this summer with the death of Rob Jenner, the 61-year-old cyclist who was killed while cycling to work on June 6th there, as well as another injury to a cyclist later on that summer on around Academy and Wellington Crescent. So it should be interesting to see what happens here. I'm hoping that we do see some action here. And basically, some quotes here from the article from the Winnipeg Free Press. Executive Director, Bike Winnipeg, Mark Coho, chimes in here. Quote, that's a main route for people cycling, Mark Coho says. The non-profit group, which is Bike Winnipeg, is advocating for safer routes for cyclists and others. And goes on to say, quote again, the tragedy of Rob Jenner's death moved that to the forefront, unquote. So we'll be interested to see what happens with it. I'm hoping we do see some action, gets through that committee, gets to city council. I would love to see this happen. It's going to be a challenge, but I truly think if we're going to make our streets safe, as well as we want to work towards the goal of doubling bicycle traffic in a city pertaining to the City of Winnipeg's climate action plan, we got to do this. So let's do it. Let's get it done. And if we're going to get people out of their cars, which is the preferred mode of travel here in the city, 80% of Winnipegers prefer automobile use as their way to go. Let's get this done. So it would encourage people to cycle more. So let's do it. Here, and that's the major story this week here in Winnipeg. And yeah, and not a lot of happening this week, except news front, except for this story, which is kind of shocking. I only found out about this recently, about two days ago. Allison Chain, well-known within the media community, preferably social media, as well as a big urbanist and a cyclist here in the city, suddenly passed away last week, and it's sent shockwaves within, like I said, the social media community, the media community in general, but also, like I said, the urbanist and cycling community, because she's so young. And this is what her partner, John D. Plume, says. Quote, I am beyond devastated at losing the love of my life, Allison Chain. She was such a unique and brilliant light and energy in this world, who lit up every room and cared too deeply about everything and everyone. I will forever be grateful for the time we had and the magic we created together. She was the best of us, but also a troubled person who gave more love to others than she was able to receive. I'll always love you and be so proud of you, Bear, and I wish you were still here with us. Broken heart emoji, unquote. Again, this is tough on him and her family, and again, I don't know Allison personally. However, I've interacted with her online, Twitter, which is now known as X. very brilliant person, knew social media well, and weirdly enough, we wrote for the same paper once, SmartBiz, back in the mid 2010s. She was becoming well known at the time. She had her social media column, and I was writing about technology and renewable energy at the time. So, yeah, it was. I'm kind of sad to hear that she has passed away. And again, my condolences to her partner, her family, the social media community here in Winnipeg who knew her, as well as others within the urbanist and cycling community in Winnipeg as well. We here at Not Necessarily the Automobile here at 101.5 UMFM want to send our condolences to her family as well as her partner. Very sad indeed. And again, similar to Murray Sinclair, who passed away last week as well. So it's been a tough week here in Winnipeg. Some well-known people have passed away, and just goes to show that make the most of your time, make every moment count, and don't squander it, like I try to say. So, and that is this week's episode of Not Necessarily the Automobile here at 101.5 UMFM. Again, I'm your host, Adam Johnston, and you can always check out our episodes online in the archives. That's at www.umfm.com. Just search for Not Necessarily the Automobile, and you can just check out most of our episodes except for one, which I gotta try to get back up online. You can email us at Not Necessarily the Automobile at gmail.com. You can check out our Twitter page, also known as X, and that is at NNTAONUMFM. And as of now, we are on Blue Sky. So check us out there. We're going to be migrating to that very shortly. And that account is as follows, and that's at NNTAONUMFM dot BSKY dot social. And that's at NNTAONUMFM dot BSKY dot social. Again, I'm your host, Adam Johnston. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful day.